Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the June 15th, 2023, 6 o'clock p.m. meeting of the Pima County Board of Commissioners. And let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible,
okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mates?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coates?
Here.
Looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion on the agenda? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mate?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
The motion passes. So we have come to the approval of the minutes of the June 5th meeting.
So motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mates?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion passes. It's time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic here, step up and you have 3 minutes.
Good evening.
Good evening. Joe Murphy, I'm a county. Good to see you guys again. The Health Department Board voted the committee deciding on grants would only be deciding upon new proposed grants. And I'm just wondering if the county commissioners here will be allowed to know what those potential new grants are before they're voted on at the health department, since they affect everybody in the Emmett County. We hear reports about the airport, which affects very few people who actually live here. We hear reports about the parks, which majority are actually used by people outside Emma County. We hear reports on other things that the county's doing that have that affect a lot of people who are not even members of Emma County. However, the health department's work almost 100% just affects the people in Emma County. So I'm hoping you'll consider in your reports each meeting what those potential new grants are that affect the people of Emma County. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Is it loud enough?
Yeah.
I'm Ange Duncan, and I haven't seen it anywhere publicly stated, so I just wanted to say a happy Pride to you and your 1,400 residents, approximately, according to 2019 Gallup poll, that are part of the LGBTQI community. So. Happy Pride, everybody. I hope your June is amazing.
Thank you. Anybody else? Who's next? One more time. Anybody else? Okay. We close the public comment. We come to appearances. We have an appearance from the Michigan Association of Counties, the MAC group.
Yes. Thank you for having me here this evening. My name is Steve Curry. I'm the executive director of MAC. Appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your board meeting to kind of talk about MAC and what we've been working on so far this year. I do have a presentation I'll run through, and if you don't mind, I'll just say next slide, please. Does that work for you? All right, good. Even better if we can, you know, figure it out that way. You can go to the next slide. So obviously a big year for us, 125th anniversary. The association was created back in 1898. We actually have the original minutes from the first meeting in our office in a book, a binder we found when we moved offices about 5 years ago. So if you are ever in Lansing and want to see them, it's pretty neat to see the history there of the association being created. We're the oldest local government in Michigan, representing local government in Michigan. And NACO is actually checking to see if we're the oldest county association in the country. They think we might be the oldest one in the country. So that'll be really cool if they can find that out. They're not sure if they have the records on that. We were renamed the Michigan Association of Counties in 1968. The first executive director was hired in 1955. We created our workers' comp fund, which you were a member of, in 1979, and then created our service corporation in 1986. So what is MAC all about? Of course, advocacy is number one on the list. That's what we're most known for. We're known for advocacy at our state level and at the federal level. We definitely look at that as a team effort, though, and hopefully are providing you with information on issues that we're working on that you can convey that message to your locally elected officials when we need you to. Education, we host two conferences each year. We also have webinars throughout the summer. We do regional summits in the summer. So we provide various educational opportunities and then services that are provided through the association. And some of those are listed there. So this is your MAC leadership team. Stan Ponstein's the current MAC president from Kent County. Jim Story, first vice president from Allegan County. And Melissa Dobb, who is the second vice president from Wayne County. A little bit about MAC leadership. There are 16 board members elected from each of our regions. There are three at-large seats. The board meets at least four times a year. They meet at each of our conferences and then usually two or three more times outside of that. And then typically our elections are held in at our fall conference in September, October. However, this year we did have elections at our spring conference because we had five open board seats we wanted to fill as quickly as possible. So how is our policy developed? It's done through our internal committees. Those are the six committees listed there. They meet at least six times a year, usually once a month, and then take a break in the summer. All the voting members on those committees are commissioners, but we do seek input from other folks on those committees. For example, on public safety, we have a sheriff who sits on there. He doesn't vote, but gives us different perspective. Judiciary, we have judges, county administrators sit on all of our committees. So we get varying degrees of information from various folks, but all the voting members are county commissioners. So this is some of the legislative priorities we're working on this year. By no means an exhaustive list of things we're working on, but some of the things we're prioritizing. First up is Open Meetings Act, and simply put, we would like to get the Open Meetings Act changed back to pre-COVID option where county commissioners could vote and participate remotely. Right now, you can participate remotely, you just can't vote remotely. Prior to COVID, you could vote remotely. And then various counties had certain rules on that. Maybe they said a number of times you could do it, or you couldn't do it more than two or three in a row. So we would like to have that option again. There are a lot of counties that have issues with meeting in person consistently like that, and they would like to have that opened up. So we're working on getting bill sponsors on that right now. Hopefully have that sewn up in the next few weeks. Revenue sharing, so obviously a huge issue for counties each and every budget year. We've been very successful over the past 6-7 years with county revenue sharing dollars. As many of you know, and I know there are a few new folks, but statutory revenue sharing is what counties get. CVTs, cities, villages, and townships get constitutional and statutory. Statutory means it can be appropriated away each spring. So that's one thing we work very hard on, is to make sure county revenue sharing dollars are there and not appropriated to other priorities in the legislature. So what we're trying to do right now is create a virtual lockbox for county revenue sharing. So a revenue sharing trust fund that would be funded as a percentage of the sales tax each year, and then those dollars would be distributed to counties based on the percentage that they're getting now of revenue sharing dollars. The bills are sponsored right now by Senator Kleinfeld, who's a former MAC president and a county commissioner from Macomb County. And we do expect to see movement on this. There's a fair amount of support out there for this. I wouldn't expect it prior to the budget being done in the next few weeks, but maybe later this fall we'll see something on that. Funding for reforms in local courts. So back many years ago, probably 7-8 years ago, there was a court case that prohibited courts from charging fees to those who use the court system. That would have cost counties about $50 million statewide if those fees couldn't be charged, because counties would then have to fund the courts to make up for that. We were able to get legislation passed to make sure that those fees could continue, but there was a sunset date put on it, basically because the trial court funding commission was meeting to kind of look at funding for courts, and they wanted to make sure that the commission, any recommendations that came out of the commission, had a chance to be evaluated. So there was a sunset date originally. I think it was 2022, late 2022 on those fees. Trial Court Funding Commission recommendations come out. They start working on it. COVID hits. Everything goes away. We get an extension on that, those fees until May 24. So now we're watching that sunset date. We're hopeful that the Trial Court Funding Commission recommendations are taken up again. It's going to be a lot more difficult because it is a very young, new, not young, but new legislature there. So the learning curve is going to be quite long on getting them educated on what that commission did many years ago. So in the meantime, we'll continue to watch that to make sure those fees can continue to be charged so that those dollars don't have to come out of the county pocketbook. Juvenile justice, this is more of a general statement, and I know you folks are well aware of all the issues with juvenile justice beds, keeping people working in facilities. It's a statewide issue. I know you guys are working, I think, up here to get a facility. You know, there's other areas that are looking to get facilities put in. But just know that we are aware of it. We're working with DHHS to increase funding wherever we can help. But there are a lot of different issues with that issue. But we're watching it and keeping our eyes on it. Diverted funds from property tax exemption. So back in 2013, there was a disabled veterans property tax exemption that was enacted by the legislature. Back then, that cost counties maybe $15, $20 million, or locals in general, $15, $20 million. Well, as people learned about it and it came about, now it's up to $100 million each year local governments are losing on that. And what we're proposing, and we've worked very closely with the veteran service organizations on this, is a mechanism so that the state reimburses those locals for that exemption. They voted on it. It costs county dollars. The state should pay for it. But we wanted to make sure it didn't impact the veterans and the benefit they were getting. So we worked very hard on that. We had bills ready to go last session. Legislative session ended abruptly. Lame duck ended abruptly. We were not able to get the movement we wanted to see on that. So we are working to get bipartisan support this year on those. And I think we'll see something on that in the next few months. So stay tuned on that. Another exemption that the state voted on was the personal property tax exemption. Back in 2021, there was a large economic development deal that went through, and part of that package increased the small business personal property tax exemption from $90,000 to $180,000. That exemption cost locals $75 million each year. And at the time, we were promised that that would be made up by the state. We had the quadrant had promised us that. Again, an abrupt lame duck comes through. They don't get the bills out of committee fast enough, and we're left holding the bag. However, we did get legislation introduced already this year on that, Senate Bill 331, and we do feel confident that the legislature and the governor will sign that once we get it through. So quickly about the budget. So targets have been released to the committee chairs for the state budget, which means now they know what their target is they're working for. Of course, there's been a lot of votes down in Lansing appropriating away a lot of the surplus they had. So there was a concern on if they had voted away too much surplus and would they be able to meet the governor's recommendation on a budget. It does look like they do have enough funds to meet that budget, which we're happy with because there was 17% increase in county revenue sharing dollars there. Now, portion of that is earmarked to public safety, and we're working on getting a better definition of what does public safety mean. But so we're in pretty good shape there. The Senate recommended the same thing as the governor. The House did knock down revenue sharing, I think a couple percentage points, but not significant. So we do feel pretty good about that. So with targets set now, we are expecting the budget to be done. We're hearing anywhere from the end of this month to the second week in July as they work through it over here in the next few weeks. So stay tuned on that. Some other bills of interest that we're watching, I'm sure you've heard from your health department on the statewide septic code, that the legislation that's been introduced, they are actually work grouping that right now. So there's a work group that's working on those bills. We're in that work group. There are a lot of concerns in that from our perspective, from the standpoint of cost to counties. How are we going to employ enough people to do these inspections, especially when you're looking north of Clare? Cost of homeowners, if there's going to be a significant increase in, you know, fixing these, you know, how are that some of these homeowners going to pay for it? They're looking at a grant system possibly from the state to do that, but we are watching that. Juvenile justice reform, I already spoke about. Solar PILT renewable energy requirements. There is legislation moving through that would basically apply a PILT payment to the megawatts of solar panels. So whatever they're capable of producing per megawatt, the state, or not the state, but the company would pay a payment to county, to make sure that that funding is always there, because obviously that land can't be used for something else. And we'd want to get away from the mechanism that was used for wind turbines, because that became a mess. Binding arbitration for corrections officers. So this would open up corrections officers to be a part of that collective bargaining unit. That has been passed out of the House and now is in the Senate committee. And then finally, governmental immunity. This goes back many years to the Nassar case out of MSU. There was a package of bills passed a few years ago on that. One of the bills that did not get moved had to do with exposure for local or for governmental units. And there are some concerns with some of the language in this that say if a public entity knew or should have known about something, they could expose them to significant civil lawsuits. And our concern is the should have known. How do you define should have known something? So we're working with the bill sponsor on it. They seem to be fairly open to some of our suggestions on that. Slide. This is your MAC advocacy team. So Dina Bosworth's our director of government affairs. She handles primarily general government and tax policy issues. Madeline Feda handles our transportation and environmental issues. And then Samantha Gibson handles health and human services and judiciary issues. And then if there's ever a question, you can always reach out to Amanda, and Amanda can get you pointed in the right direction. We do have a PAC. Hopefully you've seen some information on that. We use it to primarily support the 24 former county commissioners that are in the legislature when they have their breakfasts or lunch in Lansing. So if you're able to donate, we would appreciate it. I mentioned our conferences briefly. Our next conference will be in Kalamazoo County, October 1st through 3rd, and then we'll be back in Lansing next spring, April 29th through 1st. And then finally, these are our MAC communication tools. Hopefully you're getting our weekly legislative update, our printed newsletter every month. We Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We do a podcast now every week, which is about 20 minutes long, which surprisingly enough, more people listen to than we expect. So it's always like surprising. I go to some meetings and people are like, oh, I heard you on the podcast. I'm like, I didn't really think anyone actually listened to us, but people seem to like that. It's a different way to get some information. So we appreciate Emmett County's support over the years. And I know a lot of you folks were at our new commissioner's school and are come to our conferences. So we really appreciate that and be happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Do we have any questions for Steve?
Just one comment, Steve. I'm on the government finance, transportation and infrastructure. Neil?
Transportation infrastructure.
Yeah, thank you.
And the rest of us have gone to the new commissioner's school, and that was very educational. I appreciate that.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for your guys' participation.
Thanks for the education. Helps.
Yeah. Well, we want to be a resource. So if there's ever anything we're not touching on and you feel like we should, please reach out to us, and we'll put it on a list for a conference breakout session or something like that.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the door. Thanks.
So now it comes to the administrator's report.
Thank you. Good evening. I won't go through the whole report tonight because I think it's going to be covered in your reports. So I'm just highlighting a couple of things. We've had some retirements going on. Mike Larson, our GIS coordinator, equalization, has announced his retirement, so we're working on filling his position. We're seeing some of our positions open up through retirement, so we will continue to work on that. One thing I did want to talk, or what I put in your packet, was the building and inspection report, permit report. So that is in your report, so you can see what's going on in the building department. And just a shout out to our sheriff. He was just at his Michigan Association conference, and he was given the Presidential Citation Medal, awarding his outstanding performance as a sheriff. So that was a nice award for him. That's what I have for you tonight.
So are we going to have an Emmett County Department Inspections permit update?
It is in your packet. It's I think it's in the last page, and it just goes over what's going on in that department.
Okay.
All right. So it's just information for you.
So then it's time for Pam.
Yes. Yeah, can you bring that up? So as we're looking at the budget,
we're currently doing really well. Everything seems to be on target. Staff are staying within their budget, which is really nice. We are pretty much on target. If you look at 23 actual, 22 actual, we're about $1 million difference. And that just has to do with some interest income. And I went through actually a lot of the differences on the next page. If you can change your slide, Tatum. I'm not going to go through each one of these, but this just kind of lists what the differences are from last year to the current year. If you go to the next slide. Again, this is your expenditures. One more slide. And go to the graph. So if you take a look at this, you're going to notice that general government is up quite a bit. A lot of that has to do with interest income. We're about $167,000 up from last year. Because as you know, previously, interest income has been really low. But when you take a look at the graph, you can kind of see that we're pretty much on target where everywhere we're at. The place you'll see, the airport, they're increasing, but the revenue or expenses increase too, and that's because of your fuel sales. If you want to go to the next slide. So on here, you can see that it's pretty much even right all the way across. Public safety is the one area that's up, and that has to do with we have full staffing in our sheriff's department and with the staffing at construction resources. So other than that, everything is going really well. And I have nothing to report. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Pam? Yes, we're not going to put you on the spot.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. So comes to claims and committee travel vouchers. Looking for a motion.
I'll move, Chair, for the payment of claims in the amount of $1,962,510.62 for the payment of committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $6,374.72.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofthouse?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. We'll go on to new business. We're looking at our ambulance cots.
Yes, thank you, EMS. Put together a request for proposals for three new power cots. They received a bill from Stryker Sales in the amount of $92,845.18. This is a purchase that is in our budget and something that we have planned for this year for the replacement.
So we're looking for a motion.
I'm making a motion, Chair. I move that the board approve the purchase of three power ambulance cots for Stryker Sales LLC in the amount of $92,845.18 and authorize the county administrator to sign the agreement.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnon?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mate?
Yes.
Commissioner Lockhart?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next up is Camp Pedasiga.
We have two leases at Camp Pedasiga. We have two areas out there that we rent. We have a new park manager out there, and the part of the park manager is he has the ability to rent the house there, so we have someone on site 24 hours a day. So the first lease is there is for the new park manager, and I think we've talked about in the past. We did some renovations on the small winter house. That's the house that when you come into the park, it sits on the right. It's been vacant for the last 3 years. We've done some work there. We have an employee within our system. The original thought was for park staff out there. We didn't have anybody needed housing this year, so we opened that up to staff here. We have a staff member in our AT department that's traveling an hour and a half each way to come to work and an opportunity to get our employees housing here closer to work. We also be, as we move forward up at Headlands, we have the property at Headlands that we'll be looking at for potential housing too for our staff up there. So for tonight, what we have is Camp Petasiga, the house for the camp manager, and also the small winter office, what we call the small house there, for one of our IT staff members.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve the attached rental agreements for Camp Petasiga residences and authorize the county administrator to sign on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just a quick question. So the small winter house, is that the building that's like in the parking lot across from the where all the workers
It's the house that's located just up the road from that.
Oh, okay.
So when you come into the
building,
it's the one on the right. So you have the old hangar up top. As you come down the hill, it's right there.
Got it.
And just speaking of Petasiga, the road and the improvements, they've done excellent job out there. So they've coming into Petasiga, the nicest road in the county right now.
We can thank Tony for that. So let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Laughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Motion passes. And the next item is
this is a reimbursement program for the prosecutor's office, and this is set up for child support payment orders. It helps maintain and support the work that the prosecutor's office does. They pay 66% of the annual cost. You'll see year one through five what the reimbursement back to the county is. So for the work that prosecutor's office does, we get reimbursed at 66%. It's a five-year agreement, and we think it's a good source of revenue for the prosecutor's office.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the board approve the 2024 Title IV-D Cooperative Reimbursement Program for the prosecutor's office beginning 10/1/23 to 9/30/28 in the amount of $1,298,146.69 and authorize the board chair to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Laughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next up, we have Little Travers Township.
This is part of the ARPA funding that is made available to all the townships, villages, and cities within Emmett County. Little Travers Township has come forward with a water reservoir project. We reviewed the project. We think this is good. This reservoir will improve the current services allowed in the township and also allow future expansion.
Okay. Looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Little Travers Township in the amount of $50,000 matching funds to the Emmett Heights Reservoir Project as requested in the submitted application and authorized chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Laughlin?
Yes.
Mapes?
Yes.
Yes.
White?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next is Pleasant View Township.
Pleasant View Township is working with the Emmett County Road Commission to do some road projects within their community. They'll be utilizing that to improve their roads.
Looking for a motion.
Chair, I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Pleasant View Township, including $50,000 matching funds to repair roadways in the Highland Woods and Shepherd's Rest Hamlets as requested in the submitted application and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
I'll say.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Bates?
Yes.
Commissioner Coombs?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutkowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next up, we have a position opening or opened on the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority. And I will make that motion to have Parker Fairburn fill one of those positions.
I'll support that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. And we have the same thing for the Veterans Affairs. And I think Chuck was going to make that motion.
I would like to move that we appoint Sherry Marshall to this Veteran Affairs Board.
I believe we have three positions open, so go ahead and name them both.
I don't have the other two in front of me.
Okay.
There's two applicants. The other one's Ida Chapman.
Okay, I'll add Ida Chapman to that.
Thank you.
Motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. Well, so we're come to communication. We have all kinds of letters from Crooked Lake Yacht Club.
And, yes, you do.
And we've seen them. And now it's time for the committee reports. Who wants to start?
I can start if you like, Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
So the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority met on May 23rd regarding the Michigan Maple Block property. Our Brownfield consultant reports that the project has been vetted and well-received by Eagle. The pre-demolition survey has revealed that the project has complicated issues regarding lead and asbestos. And in the consultant's words, this project is proving to be fluid, interesting, and complex, but that he thinks those issues are not prohibitive and the project will move forward and we can expect a Brownfield plan later this summer. So that's my report on Brownfield. Actually, there's one more. We have started the process of issuing an RFP for our consultant for the next 5 years. Apparently, that contract renews every 5 years. Well, that's where we are on Brownfield, and that's my report. Thank you.
Steve? Sure. Matt did a wonderful job on the Brownfield Authority. I mentioned many of the same things.
Barely hearing me. This public meeting, and I should be able to hear any place in this room.
I haven't given a report yet. The Road Commission met on May 25th and approved two items, a wedging project with Carp Lake Township on Service Road. The board also approved reclassification of Hathaway Road all season. At the June 8th meeting, the board discussed the status of old U.S. 31, decided to gather public input on how best to address the deteriorating road surface. The Area on Aging met on June 1st, Northwest Michigan. One item on the agenda was the FY 2024 annual implementation plan, and will now be sent to each of the counties to review and approve. Executive Director Gustain will be at our meeting in August, one of the meetings in August, to present the annual report and answer any questions the board may have. The final report is the airport. I attended the May 23rd meeting, in which time the airport director gave his report on fuel sales, passenger operations, and financial report. We are somewhat behind for the year, as Mrs. Gibson said, but our busy season has just started, so we expect a good year. The FAA required live bird training has been completed, as well as the FAA on-site airport inspection. I will defer to my fellow commissioners who serve with the committee to add additional information. One thing I would like to bring up, I've received, and I've talked to Mr. Boyer about this, I'm receiving more additional concerns about people trying to book on Delta Airlines and use Palestine. And first it was the app, which Mr. Boyer has addressed, but now I'm getting quite a few calls of people trying to book through Delta to go to other communities. And they get to Detroit, fine, But then when they get to Detroit, they're routed through Atlanta, Minneapolis, or another community. But doing the same time or same trip out of Traverse City, they're getting to Detroit and then getting no move to go to other communities. They're not rerouted around, and I would just like to bring that forward, see if there's any conversation we can have with Delta Airlines or whatever to find out why Pelston, they have to jump so many hoops to get to where they want to go when they can get to Detroit. And that's my report.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. We had our Parks and Rec meeting this week on June 13th, and we did a tour of McGulpin Point Lighthouse with the renovations up there. Really, really nice up there. We get a chance to take a ride up there, take a look. Camping at Camp Pendasiga has been busy. Dave had already mentioned that the road is very good, and it makes a great entrance to the camp. Camp is a little bit slower than it was in 2022. Part of that, we think, is because of COVID. Everybody was camping during the COVID, and there's just a little bit less camping than this year. Six of the 18 disc golf pads have been installed currently, and I think that work still continues. At the Headlands, three presentations were included since my last report, including the Big Bang Theory, Effects of Light Pollution, and the James Webb Telescope. The marquee sign at the fairgrounds has been installed and is now operational. No DPW meeting this month. However, the first hazardous waste collection will take place next week, June 20th, and they're targeting old paint cans. We didn't have our TAC meeting. However, I did talk to Al Welshimer, and he said the committee narrowed the selection for the new computer-aided dispatch system down from six bidders down to two, and more thorough demonstrations will be conducted soon to select the successful company to replace that. No fairgrounds update. MAC Transportation Committee, we met via Zoom May 26th, and part of the discussion was a 2022-2023 transportation infrastructure platform. We've talked about goals including federal funding, state funding, county infrastructure, right-of-way issues, public transit, rail, ports, airport funding, off-road vehicles, and broadband. And I'll continue on Dave's report on the airport. The new airport body scanner is now operational. Larger aircraft will be starting in August. The current size of the aircraft have 50 seats. The new larger aircraft will have 67 to 76 seats, depending on what plane Delta brings in. And a designated ramp official will have to be in place when those larger aircraft come aboard. That's my report.
Thank you, Brian. Who's next?
Go ahead.
As Brian said, our DPW meeting was canceled. No pressing business. I was unable to attend the June 8th Road Commission meeting, so thank you, Dave, for presenting that one. Bay Bluffs, May 18th, which that sounds a while back, but they've been moving their meetings around, trying to make adjustments and stuff for people that they're bringing in to make presentations and so forth. And so at the May 18th meeting, it was rescheduled to the 25th to accommodate an auditor's presentation this time. The auditors presented their findings and had many positive things to say. Among them was the staff's helpfulness, cleanliness of the facility, and attention to the patient's needs. But the purpose of the audit was to finance the Bay Bluffs. After going through the audit, the results were very favorable and positive. They felt the management did a very good job of making adjustments through the COVID pandemic, and the facility fared favorably along with other facilities around northern Michigan. Their main concern, though, is cash flow. Patient count is low due to staff shortages, which is a common problem everywhere. Right now, the cash on hand is adequate, but will be depleting as time goes on. They need to get more patients into the facility, but in order to do that, they need more staff to care for them. After that, we were introduced to Michelle Nickel, who was selected to help with the workforce campaign and has been in the works for the last couple of months. It took a couple of months to find somebody capable of doing a project like what the board was looking for. And now that they have, they've gotten started on it. So we had everybody had their pictures taken on June 6th. That's getting started. She explained to the board her plan step by step, which includes radio and video advertisements to recruit staffing at the same time receiving input from the board. All of this will hopefully bring in the staff needed to increase patient counts, which brings in the needed revenue that we're going to need for the future. Staff and board members met June 6th for photos. The next board meeting of Bay Bluffs is scheduled for June 29th. Health department met June met June 6th minutes were approved from the shortened May 2nd meeting and the special meeting of May 15th. After public comment, we went into closed session to discuss attorney-client privileged legal opinions. After we opened the meeting, we went to staff reports, and the health department director, as part of his report, spoke to something that was earlier spoken to at this meeting regarding a bill that's before the House and Senate that is known as the statewide sanitary code. And he says local health departments are in favor of the general concept of statewide sanitary code, but there are several issues that are problematic. And just one of those issues, which is slightly touched on, would be the requirement of all septic systems to be inspected and pumped every 5 years. However, those would be done either through the health department staff or contracted staff. It would require a tremendous amount of new people to perform them. After staff reports, committee reports were given. We went on to unfinished business. There was a motion that came out of closed session regarding grant oversight. The motion was to grant authority to the program and evaluation committee to review all potential future grants and make recommendations to the full board for discussion and approval. After discussion and a vote, the motion was passed. As part of new business, we discussed the July 4th meeting schedule. A motion was made to cancel the July board meeting because it fell on the 4th. Motion was second and passed with a full board vote. July Health Board meeting is canceled for the month of July, and but programming and evaluation committee meeting date and also the finance committee meeting date are yet to be determined for the month of July. That's all I have to share.
Had a few. The Emmett County Land Bank Authority. I'll just read what our administrator wrote because he already had it down. We reviewed current projects, authorized submittal of a blight elimination grant for a former Michigan Maple Block project. It's up to $1 million. Okay. And we had a joint meeting, a special meeting of the National Association of Counties Veterans Committee and the Arts and Cultural Affairs Committee of NACO. Very interesting. They brought in a vet who has a whole kind of a program and kind of turned his life out of law enforcement post service and turned into more of the creative arts and wound up writing a play. And the play has been actually made into a movie as well. And it's on his book called The Power of Storytelling. And what was very impressive to me is that he talked about being able to talk about their experiences, and vets older than him just really kind of came home, didn't talk about much, wouldn't talk about what happened to them, what they went through. And as we know, there's a problem in the country with veteran suicide, and they just keep it all bottled in instead of telling people about it and letting it out. So he's kind of a part of a movement for storytelling, and vets should tell their stories to their friends and their family, so they don't keep everything inside and wind up hurting themselves. So there's this play is called Last Out, Elegy of a Green Beret. It's the story of the Afghan War and the unforeseen cost on our veterans. He shared his work about his work in the power of storytelling to foster healing, especially for the military and former service members. He shared his own story of depression and suicidal ideation after leaving the military and spoke about how channeling this experience into artistic expression saved his life. The movie, or the play, collaborates with Operation Angel Wing, a nonprofit organization that travels as a liaison to support the all-veteran cast and staff and provide assistance and support to audience members struggling with PTSD, and holds storytelling workshops for veterans in conjunction with each performance. So that was it was a nice intersection of two committees. The only two committees that sit in on NACO. It was just interesting that kind of happened for me. It's like the arts and veterans, you know. The movie Last Out, Elegy of a Green Beret, is on Amazon. It's It does, I think it's two, I looked it up today, $299 to run it. So. Okay. Commissioner Gutowski already talked about the MAC transportation meeting, also on. Northern Michigan County Association is going to come, is that movie's, or that, that meeting's still coming up. We had to move the date. So, I did send a letter on the MAC call to action, to Representative Frisky about the aggregate bill that's in the, that's being worked on right now. We need to maintain local control of that. Our townships need to be able to say where it can go and not go, and, you know, or just say not at all. You know, it's the state is trying to take control of all that because they're getting a lot of no's from where they want to use the aggregate, and they need that to build the D roads, as the governor likes to say. But they don't want to have to transport that material far away to keep costs down for the roads. So they're really on this, trying to get local aggregate for where projects are. And that's what the bill's kind of about, to keep costs down. But it is a cost to our communities. I mean, people buy a piece of property, they don't expect there's going to, if there's no aggregate bit there, they shouldn't have to worry about whether someone, the state's going to come in and dig a big hole and put a bunch of dust in the air next to their house and ruin their property values. You know, that's, and they don't want to let counties or townships have any say over that. So, very opposed to that. That's what I have, Chair.
So before we go on, do you want to talk a little bit about the support Seporium that we went to?
The what?
Seporium, what am I trying to say? Symposium.
Symposium?
Symposium. Do you have any notes on that? So the LENA?
Oh, NLEA?
NLEA,
oh, that. Yeah. Okay. I thought we talked about that last month, but.
Was it last month?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I will say about the NLEA, there is a search for a new director. David Emmel has retired, and he's on a contract service for service basis right now while they transition to someone else. They're taking applications. So.
So before we go on, do you want to talk about Enbridge?
Enbridge, yeah. Thanks to Chuck for bringing this paper in. Chair and I were both at let's get the name of it, ESMOC, let's see, Enbridge Straits Maritime Operational Center open house on May 24th. There's a lot of people came through the place. They demonstrated all of their equipment and what they do to keep the straits safe. And if anyone has any qualms about the tunnel or Enbridge at all, I recommend you go and visit the place, make an appointment and have a tour, because I think a lot of your fears would be quieted by if once you get the knowledge of going through their all of the efforts they've gone to protect the straits.
It was amazing to me. They watch every pardon me They watch every ship that comes through there that's 35 feet or above, that, and they make sure that their hangar, their anchor, is stowed properly. And if it's not stowed properly, and they have cameras that look at all these anchors from this facility, and they call each ship and say, is your anchor stored properly? And if it isn't, they'll tell them that it's not in the storage position. They've even called one ship, and it drug its anchor all the way from the locks down and didn't know it. So Enbridge is really doing a great job protecting the straits, and they've got cameras that are amazing. They can focus right in on, miles. So they're doing a great job. So.
The cameras they got from overseas is just amazing. And the control room, I mean, there's more screens in there than on the deck of the Enterprise. I'll tell you, it is very, very impressive, their capabilities and what they've purchased to accomplish their goals. These are special cameras from overseas and that watch the North and the North Seas and traffic over there.
Yep. So that was very impressive. And again, I would recommend anybody that has an interest, feel free to go and visit it. They would love to give you a tour of it. And they're doing a great job protecting the straits. So.
And I've got an article here if you want to take a look at it. Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck, you're up next.
The airport committee has already been well covered. Thanks to David and Brian. On June 8th at 7 p.m. here in this room, our planning committee met. And I feel strongly about these committees because the planning and the zoning committee both have a lot of power over the citizens of Emmett County as to what they can do with their private land, even though the citizens have paid taxes on them for many years in some cases. But we were able to approve three special permits. There was four items on the agenda. We approved special use permits for John Cups from Friendship Township, Doug Noels and Company from Bear Creek Township, and Michael Lickfelt from Bear Creek Township. And the fourth case was postponed by the request of the applicant, Orion Construction for MKB Holdings. And then we have a Zoning Board of Appeals meeting here next Tuesday night in this room at 6 o'clock. And there's only one item on that agenda. That's it.
Thank you. So on Tuesday, the 6th of June, we had a health board meeting and Don updated us on that. And before that health board meeting, we had a bill pay meeting that we approved all the bills that they were going to pay. And so that was nice to have that meeting just before. That evening, I had a Littlefield Township meeting, and we took care of business at the Littlefield Township. On the 8th, the TAC meeting was canceled, and Brian gave an update on that. And the 13th, the Crooked River Locks meeting was canceled. Must be this time of year. Must be canceling a lot of meetings. Yesterday, we had a Construction Resource Committee meeting, and we covered a lot of grounds. The chairman of the committee was pushing to get regularity in inspections, and there was some comments from the contractors out in the fields that they'll get an inspector come in and inspect and approve things, and then a month or two or several months later, they'll have another inspector come in and write things up. And so there's some irregularity, so we're trying to work on getting some regularity. And anyway, it was a good conversation and good meeting. I think we got some progress on that in some other things that went on. They had an arbitration meeting today for an appeals, and that was settled. So we moved on with that. So that brings us up to date.
Chair, could I add one more thing, please?
Yes.
At the airport, just another shout out to the airport staff. We had another airplane come in yesterday with two wheels, not three. Staff was there prepared, ready for it. That's three in 3 weeks. So I don't want to say our training is over, but hopefully we won't see any more of those this year. No one was hurt. Airplane was a slight damage to the airplane. But hats off to the pilots and the crew that are out there. Everybody's been safe so far.
The volume of traffic up?
It's picking up.
Yeah.
Again, this plane was coming from a distance away, chose our airport knowing that the safety crew was there, and mutual aid was called. Everybody was on standby and ready to move in if there was a problem, and fortunately, we didn't have to do it.
Good. Wonderful. They're doing a great job up there.
They parked in a bad neighborhood or something before they flew? Wheels falling off. Thanks, man.
It's a great guy. Again, we're done with our training, so yeah. No more.
Okay, we've come time for public comment again. Anybody wishing to speak, come up to the mic. You have 3 minutes.
First off, I'd like to thank Commissioner Mapes and Commissioner Ginnup for giving a report on the health department. I appreciate hearing that. I wanted to give you a little bit of a reminder regarding the health department. The last Board of Health, not the current one, prohibited the staff from giving oral reports at their meetings, limiting them to 10 minutes per month for oral presentation. Because of that, the staff gives written reports, and they're in the board packet. And I would encourage all of you, when you get a chance, to look at those board packets. They're posted on the Northwest Michigan, or the Health Department of Northwest Michigan website, so you can see them yourself. But I just want to point out a couple things that I think are of interest to the public that they might want to be aware of to look at. Dr. Meyerson reported on the increase of ticks in northern Michigan, inclusive of very important informative information on what to look for and how to treat and what to do in treating people with them. And he also reported, which I found quite interesting, a monthly communicable disease report for all four counties. That's in there every month. The director of community health reported on Mental Health Awareness Month. And this I found very interesting. It included the numbers of clients and health visits by students during the past 21-22 school year. And I found it, as a former teacher, quite interesting and a little bit astounding as well. The family health director reported on the hearing and vision screenings that are performed in the area schools and larger daycare centers, including the number who were referred for further assessment and care. The director of environmental health provided a report on PFAS update. The regional planning director reported on the behavioral health action summit. And then lastly, which is nice to hear, that our director of regional planning received the coveted Gene Chabot Health Policy Champion Award as part of Public Health Week. And that's a statewide recognition. So it was neat to hear that our area received this award. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Come on up.
Can you hear me with that up there?
Yep.
Try and pull it down?
No.
Okay. I just want to say it's nice that the divisiveness for the health board has cooled, and part of that happened with the resolutions and so on that went on at the last meeting. Most of you know that a lot of what I have to say up here has to do with the process of government. And at the last meeting, parliamentary procedure was not followed. I'm not asking to go back and change anything, but it didn't happen the way it should have, the resolutions and the amendments. And I don't know how many of you were here when we had previous civil counsel with Mr. Engel, but when there was parliamentary procedure that was not followed, he would say something. And I think probably we're paying for that now, but it just didn't happen. And parliamentary procedure is important on how things happen here in this board. And I'm just hoping that you think about it, and maybe in the future, it goes a lot better, because I'm liable to say something if it doesn't. If the civil attorney doesn't say something, which they should.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? One more time. Anybody else? Okay. The next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held on July 10th, 2023 at 6 o'clock in this room. We need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.